This is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski isn't ruling out running for governor. When asked by a reporter Monday if she has considered adding her name to a long list of Republican candidates vying for the seat next year, she gave a short reply.
Sure. Lots of Republicans have.
Associated Press reporter Becky Bohr later asked Murkowski if she was being sincere.
Was that a flippant response or a serious response? Is that something that you were seriously considering at this time?
Well, it was a little bit flippant, I have to admit, because everybody asks me about it. So, you know, when you're asked, you're like, oh, I was thinking about it.
Murkowski spoke during a wide-ranging, nearly 90-minute sit-down with reporters in her Anchorage office. Other topics included her displeasure with reductions in staffing for the National Weather Service, the delay in getting nominees confirmed for Alaska's district court vacancies, and the zeroing out of funding for the Denali Commission. She also defended her vote on President Trump's reconciliation bill, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill, and the carve-outs she secured for rural health care.
I did everything within my power as one lawmaker from Alaska to try to make sure that the most vulnerable in our state would not be negatively impacted. And I had a hard choice to make, and I think I made the right choice for Alaskans.
Alaska Survey Research released a poll Monday that showed Murkowski's favorability with progressives and moderates had plummeted after she voted for the president's bill. Both of those blocks of voters helped her get reelected in 2022. Murkowski says the bill would have passed without her support.
What I'm trying to do is not win elections. I am just trying to do the best that I can for Alaskans.
Murkowski did not comment to a reelection bid for her Senate seat either. She signed up for reelection until 2028. Juneau Assembly members have rejected a plan to create a shelter safety zone around the Glory Hall homeless shelter in the Mendenhall Valley. The narrow vote came during a committee meeting last night, but members may reconsider their proposal in September. The city outlined a loose plan for the zone after staff, patrons, and neighbors of the shelter asked the assembly to take action to protect the Teal Street area. They say it has become unsafe because of threats from some unhoused people camping in the vicinity. The topic generated a lot of tension at the meeting. That was between assembly members who supported what they saw as a public safety measure and those who saw it as a stopgap solution for the larger issue of homelessness in Juneau. Assemblymember Wade Bryson voted in favor of the plan. He argued the assembly's inaction is putting people's safety at risk.
We haven't protected the patrons. We haven't protected the staff. And we're not talking about allowing people to camp near this property. That's not really what the issue is. We're talking about protecting those very vulnerable, the most vulnerable of us, from the predators of our community.
City leaders say the shelter safety zone is intended to increase protection for staff and people using the shelter's services. It would likely make the rules for camping or loitering in public spaces stricter in the zone than they are citywide. Some assembly members who voted against the zone said they worried it would unlawfully target unhoused people and could open the door for possible lawsuits. Assembly member Neil Steininger argued it wouldn't solve any issues, but merely move them somewhere else.
I just can't see how it takes us forward as a community on this issue more than just whack-a-mole on the next piece of the problem without actually trying to address anything beyond one symptom of a much broader, much more difficult issue.
Assembly members asked the city to look into other potential safety measures, like hiring private security to patrol the area or establishing a city-sanctioned summer shelter. And the state of Alaska is pressing forward with a controversial plan to build a ferry terminal it says will streamline service in the Upper Lynn Canal. But communities in the area aren't on board. They say they need more information about the project and are concerned the terminal could make getting to and from Juneau more complicated than it already is. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
The State Department of Transportation signed a $28 million contract last week that kickstarts a plan to build a new ferry terminal about halfway between Juneau and Haines. The site, known as Cascade Point, is roughly 30 miles further north from Juneau's population centers than the area's current terminal in Auk Bay. That, in theory, could cut about 2 hours off round-trip ferry trips between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. But community leaders and other critics say the state has yet to make a strong case for the project, and that it's premature to be awarding contracts.
we're all looking for the same thing, which is some definitive answers before we start on construction of this.
That's Haynesborough Mayor Tom Morfitt during a public meeting in late July. The Assembly voted to send a letter to Governor Mike Dunleavy that says they cannot support the project, absent more information. Concerns include how walk-on passengers will get from the new terminal to downtown Juneau. Critics have also raised that the plan has not been integrated into the ferry system's draft long-range plan and questioned why the state hasn't released a feasibility study or economic analysis justifying the project. Opponents include officials in Skagway, plus members of the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board. Here's Board Chair Juanetta Ayers during a recent meeting.
What continues to be troubling from my perspective is the pursuit of this project in what is a very unconventional process where design and now construction are way ahead of operational feasibility and customer service.
In an interview last week, Ayers said it's crucial that a project of this scale is carefully thought out to avoid spending millions of dollars on a terminal that doesn't end up benefiting customers.
We don't have the time or the money for misfiring, doing projects that either don't come to fruition or don't really contribute to service levels, you know, meeting the needs of Alaskans.
The contract, for its part, was awarded to K&E Alaska Incorporated. The $28 million will pay for the first phase of the project, which will entail design work, plus the construction of an access road to the terminal site, a new bridge over Cascade Creek, and an upland staging area. The company should be able to begin the design phase this summer, with construction stretching into September of 2027. The terminal, which is not included in the contract, will be located on land owned by Alaska Native Corporation, Gold Belt Inc., based in Juneau. DOT spokesperson Sam Dapsevich says one of the top concerns seems to be how walk-on passengers will get to and from Cascade Point. As he sees it, that shouldn't be a problem. Gold Belt recently committed to operating a bus service to Juneau for every ferry arrival and departure at Cascade Point.
So right now, if you're from Haines or Skagway and you take the ferry to Auk Bay, there's no bus service there. You gotta call a cab or you gotta walk. And with this Cascade Point and Gold Belt's commitment, you would have bus service from the ferry terminal to town.
Dapsevich says the department is close to finalizing an economic analysis and that the public will be able to weigh in on project design during future public meetings and comment periods. He says the department has considered other operational questions, such as wintertime road maintenance, terminal staffing, and more, but that those details haven't been finalized. He adds that while the ferry system's draft long-range plan doesn't specifically address Cascade Point, it does focus on the broader goal of shortening routes and boosting efficiency.
Cutting a couple hours off of each run in each direction, it reduces the wear and tear on the machinery. It reduces the fuel costs. We see potential for improved service as other parts of the long-term strategy fall into place.
He's referring to a separate but related project called the Chilkat Connector. The department in March announced a study to examine the feasibility of building a road along the west side of the Lynn Canal, plus other infrastructure to overhaul the current system. There are several different ways it could take shape. One option, a passenger could start in Haines and drive south along the canal. Eventually, they'd ferry across the canal to Cascade Point. From there, they'd drive to Juneau. Dapsevich acknowledges that the journey would be more complicated for Skagwegians and anyone traveling without a vehicle. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
Dozens of kids filled the Bayside Fire Department in Kodiak for a week-long day camp to learn about firefighting and fire safety. This week's camp was popular. It sold out fast and had a long wait list. As KMXT's Davis Hovey reports, fighting live but controlled fires was a lot of fun for the kids and also a way to develop homegrown firefighters for the future.
You would like to come next?
Me?
Yeah.
Wait, your eyes burn.
Come on in.
Fire Chief Scott Ellis supervises a group of 17 kids, aged 6 to 12. One by one, each kid joins the chief in the hot zone to use a fire extinguisher on a real propane flame in a safe environment.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
12-year-old Jack says he had never used a fire extinguisher before.
It's crazy that this powder puts out the fire, and it's like cool to watch that because it's like this powder just like puts it out instantly.
He explains the four steps the campers learned using the acronym PASS.
P is for like pull the pin, A is for aim, the first S is for squeeze, and then the second S is for sweep it.
Jax put out the fire in under 5 seconds and took an interest in all aspects of the firefighting training. He says he wants to continue more training in the future, much to Captain Shelby Bacchus's glee.
Are we going to aim for the top of the flame or the bottom of the flame?
Bacchus put together this new kids fire camp.
My whole goal, I think, just with Bayside and all of our departments here on island is to get kids really excited about emergency services young and then to create programs that will hopefully allow them to have careers and come either stay in Kodiak or come back to Kodiak for their careers.
Bacchus coordinated activities for each day of the camp, which included visits with Kodiak's other emergency services like the police department and the Coast Guard Fire Department. She also applied for a $14,000 grant from the Alaska Community Foundation to host the summer event, which helped keep the cost to families at about $100 per kid. Other Bayside firefighters and high school cadets took turns assisting the kids' camp. The cadet program is another one of the department's recently launched recruitment programs. Baca says she has plans to further expand the department's training and recruitment efforts.
I want to see this program continue to grow, both with the fire camp, the cadet program, and then even college-based courses and just our volunteer program here.
And all the kids I spoke to, like 6-year-old Newton, said they want to do the fire camp again next year.
What do you like about this camp?
That we got to put out a fire and all the sports we get to play.
This first fire camp was capped at 40 kids this year. Bacchus says another 40 were on the wait list within hours of registration opening. She expects that next year's fire camp will be able to accept more. Reporting from Bayside Fire Department in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.